The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better, first into the narrative of the Book of Acts we travel, to understand the things the Lord requires of us. And we seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through power of the Holy Spirit. First, when wise words are used, we often nod our heads in agreement. But that is not what happened when Peter preached at Pentecost. He did not stun strangers with his sermon, because nobody knew Peter there, although he probably stunned those who did know him. He spoke with the help of the Holy Spirit, and the cutting to the heart was the power of God. Remember, it has happened to all of us believers. Next, what would be the proper response when the Lord speaks to us, challenges us, and we are cut to the heart? Whether it's from reading the word or someone sharing the truth with us, maybe a sermon or even a song that we listen to and it convicts us, how should we react? Not by running away from God, but by running to God and then asking, what should we do? And finally, repent. No, it's not the guy with the sandwich board on the corner street in New York or in San Francisco. I just had to throw that in. But it is genuine acknowledgement of God's calling for people to turn. It has a sorrow, a change of mind, and a change of direction to it if it's authentic. And these are worthy fruits.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oive. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. People always say, well, why do you repeat the numbers? There's new listeners. They don't know. You can also call 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone, and that is terrific. Here's the thing to remember. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And for us, we're just a community of believers who are trying to strengthen one another in the Lord. So the bottom line is, if you have a comment, if you have a thought, an opinion, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, if you have an answer to Bible trivia, we want you to reach out to us and give us a chance to hear what you got and to pray for you and to bless you and to encourage you. In the meantime, let's keep this real simple on the first trivia question. Which disciple, I see you got 1 out of 12 shot right here. The odds are pretty good. Which disciple objected to Mary washing Jesus' feet with perfume because he was the keeper of the money? Ooh, which disciple objected to Mary washing Jesus' feet with perfume because he was the keeper of the money? Which one was not maybe the favorite there? Okay, keep in mind the show. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience. You hear that phrase a lot because it helps people identify with what we're doing. There's a reason behind all these weird things that we do. just to let you know. The only other thing I want to tell you is about the website. Don't forget the website. It's a lot of cool stuff on there. In fact, there is a picture of the kitchen, of a kitchen sink. Not my kitchen sink, but a kitchen sink. It's in a cartoon form, so it's kind of funny. Check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, now. That's kind of a sinister laugh. I should probably do that differently. Ha 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 ha. That's better. We are going to do our very own Expository Thursday sound. Here we go.
Wow. 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 All I can say is wow. 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 All I can say is wow.
All right, now, if you do know the trivia question, the question was pretty straightforward. Which disciple objected to Mary washing Jesus' feet with perfume because he was the keeper of the money? If you know, got all the texts coming in. Everybody's doing an excellent job. If you want to call in at 972-445-0770, you can do that, or you can text the 214-210-8483. Let's get back into our text. We are in the book of Acts. And this portion right here, oh, I just wish I could do a lot more time on it and just kind of enjoy it, but we're just going to get to it. Acts chapter 2. Now, I'm going to pick it from verse 36, but we're going to focus on verse 37. Here's what 2:36 says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Okay? And we talked about that at great length. Last week, giving scriptures identifying Jesus as the one and only way of salvation. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. So I want to talk about that. Cut to the heart. So what I want you to understand is you've got the 12 disciples that hung out with Jesus more so than the rest. Then you have Peter, James, and John who hung out with Jesus more intently. They were the only ones at the Mount of Transfiguration. Plus Jesus took them in on the raising up of the little girl and different events like that. You have Peter rising up. This is Peter. We've talked about it before. He had the great colossal fall. He denied Jesus three times. Jesus restored him with three, having Peter give three confessions and acknowledgments of his love for Jesus. A great thing to understand. The three down, three up. Really cool. But here's the thing I want you to get. And I have said it before, and I'll say it again. And I know there's actually some scholars that take a different tack, but they're just wrong. Peter was a fisherman. He was impulsive. He was a labor-intensive-oriented human being. He wasn't a scholar of the Old Testament scriptures. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, bam, he became something altogether different. He gets up there to preach because he's got that personality, right? And he preaches a brilliant message, which is way beyond anything he'd ever done before. Remember, his best line prior was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's one sentence. Okay, this is a sermon, right? And he preaches brilliantly, and the people are cut to heart. Is it because of how wise Peter was and how powerful his words are, because of how strong he was in the faith? He was just restored. If anything, there might have been a sense of timidity in him prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just kind of recovering the whole process. And yet he's taken leadership. He's always a leadership guy. And we know that in Acts chapter 1, he's one of the leaders. But in this case, this sermon is beyond Peter. And you're thinking, how? Because through the power of what Peter said, it was the Holy Spirit that cut the people in the heart. It wasn't brilliant words. Now, I've heard people say a lot of really cool things. And I'm talking about Christians and even non-Christians saying poetically cool things and maybe really cool like song connections or maybe a poem or a thought process or a reasoning process that are cool. I mean, I don't have any problem with that. but they are not the Holy Spirit. And when you speak with wise words, it's easy to give a nod, isn't it? If you say something really timely, people will shake their head going, yep, yep. But when somebody says, because they're cut to the heart, and we know that the Word of God does the cutting, by the way, because the Word of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. What Peter spoke was Holy Spirit anointed. And it moved on people. The reason that I bring that up is for you to stop thinking that you have to be polished. It's for you and I to stop thinking that we have to be at this certain place for God to use us to touch somebody. Our good friend Kirk, now you guys don't know Kirk because I just found out his name today, brings up the point that God used a donkey. It's one of my favorite portions because God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. That tells you what the qualifiers are. It just takes the Lord. Let me say this as I've said it before. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God, not your delivery, not your presentation. That's what we need to hold on to. And Peter wasn't that great, wasn't that sharp. I just only hope he smelled good because he's pretty much a fisherman, does a lot of that. Didn't matter. He spoke. The Holy Spirit used it. It cut to the heart because it was God, and it changed lives. Isn't that cool? That's for you and me, especially me. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three times, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple things I got to tell you before. First of all, I forgot to give the answer to the trivia in the first section. And second of all, you know, sometimes we do have those trivia questions pop through on the what we call the fills or the commercials. And you're thinking, well, why do you do those fills? I got to breathe. Okay. See, that's why we do fills. Dave has to breathe. Kind of a good idea every once in a while. Ask my wife. And then the other thing I want to tell you is sometimes I'll text you. I texted Aunt Deb and hit the wrong face, the wrong face icon. So I want to share something with you guys. It's really important. Whenever I'm texting you guys, if it ever comes to you and it's super bizarre or doesn't make sense, just immediately consider it an accident, okay? Because I'm pretty good at texting and responding during the show, but sometimes it does get the best of me. All right, I need to answer the original question, and then we'll ask the next question. The original question is, which disciple objected to Mary washing Jesus' feet with perfume? He was the one that held the money. The answer to that would be Judas. Judas, the scriptural reference, John chapter 12, verse 3 through 5. Here's the real trivia question for this segment. When the Israelites complained about eating only manna, now doesn't that sound like us? God's feeding us food from heaven and we're complaining. When the Israelites complained about eating only manna, God did send them a certain type of food. What did he send them? When the Israelites complained about eating only manna, what kind of food did God send the Israelites? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. I will tell you the answer is in Numbers chapter 11. Okay? All right. Kirk and Eric tied, as well as Joy, all three of you at the exact same time. And Steve, oh my goodness, 1, 2, 3, 4, the exact same second. That's amazing, you guys. All right, very good. All right, so if you want to call in, you can. In the meantime, you're welcome to. In the meantime, I got to tell a joke. This joke is cute, so you got to give me a little space. That's my way of telling tea. It's not the funniest joke, but it's not terrible. See, I have to kind of butter it up. That's a fair way to do that. A little boy had just attended his first wedding. Afterwards, he was telling his cousin all about the event. So, how was it? His cousin asked. What did you learn? Well, the boy responded, I learned that you can marry up to 16 women. And the little cousin was puzzled and said, how did you come to that? How did you learn that? Easy, said the little boy. All you have to do is add it up. 4 better, 4 worse, 4 richer, and 4 poorer.
Come on.
Right? That's pretty cute. 4 better.
That's clever.
That's clever. Right? That's a good one. 4 better, 4 worse, 4 richer, 4 poorer. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's funny. Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. What are we at? What are we doing? where are we? No, we just did that last night. We'll just skip. We'll just go right into the teaching. All right. So don't forget the trivia question. when the Israelites complained about eating only manna, God did send them something. What did he send them? If you know, it's Numbers 11:31. That's the actual direct reference for those that are kind of still looking it up. The rest of most everybody's texted in. All right, let me get to this text. This portion, I think, is just so rich. It's like you can just sit in it for a while. Here's the next thing after he says, "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" It's things you think, that's such a simple thing, Dave. Aha! I'm glad you said that. Aha! Such a simple thing, right? So when you're cut to the heart, and it's the Holy Spirit working on you or in you, okay? Or you've, and I'll just give you all the different examples that happened to me, and maybe you'll identify with one of them. So it can be reading scripture, where I'm reading the scripture. Like today, there was a portion I was reading in the Psalms going, whoa, man. It could be during prayer, where the Lord reminds me that sometimes I'm not only as not smart as I am, but I'm a little too smarty pants for my own good. Okay. So it can be during a sermon that you're hearing. It could be something that you hear on the radio. It could be through this show. Hopefully it's through this show. It could be a song. It could be something that somebody says, or something that you observe, or something you even see that nobody knows you're even watching, and you see it and you go, huh, I really need to do a better job of that. All of those things are there. The question is, how do you respond? Let's talk about what the nature of the response is. How did Adam and Eve respond when they did something wrong? They ran and hid. But when the Lord established his law in the Old Testament, what was the one day of year that people were encouraged to bring themselves and for the priest to actually enter the presence of God on the behalf of the people? That was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So while Adam and Eve in their sinfulness ran when they were confronted, the law established, and it's kind of a forerunner testimony or foreshadowing of what Jesus would establish, that when we're dealing with sin, we come to God, not run away from God. And that question is the most it's kind of like a crucial question for you and I to bring. This response these people were giving was the right response, and that's the response we need to have. When the Lord brings something into your life, instead of running, instead of hiding, instead of denying — denial is not just a river in Egypt — instead of denying, you come before the Lord and you say it, and I've said it even today, "What do you want me to do? How do I approach this? What do I do?" The Lord doesn't bring something to your attention just to point out that you're a loser, okay? And I'm not calling you a loser. I'm trying to illustrate how the world might conceive of it and how people conceive of it, but understand where God's coming from. God points stuff out so that we can understand his righteousness, his standard, and come to him and get relief and freedom, because the things that we do wrong cause pain and damage. It's a wonderful, wonderful study on, if you're a Christian, you're saved, and the penalty of your sin is paid, but if you still commit sin, there's damage. You may struggle with that sin and be earnest with the Lord and seeking deliverance and daily pursuing him. And there's nothing in error about that if you come before the Lord and you're humble and honest about it. But you have to consider that some sins create a great deal of damage and they need healing from, which is why it says in James, "Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Why? Because sin creates damage. And we need that help from God. When you find the Holy Spirit challenging you, when you find the Lord Jesus staring you in the face, you come before him, you be honest, you be earnest, and you say, "What do I do? What should I do?" And you don't try and – it's one of the most important things. Never try to justify it. Okay. Never try and justify, "Well, I did this because of this. Lord, I know this is wrong, but this..." Don't ever do that. Okay? Because you lose the argument the second you open your mouth, because God knows every nuance and he knows everything that's going on. He knows what's legitimate and what's not. You never have to say that stuff to him. But you have to present yourself and humble yourself and yield. You have to. And people, I've had Christians tell me, well, I don't have to ever repent. It's like, you're so far from Jesus, it's disgusting. If Jesus spit in your eye, you wouldn't even know it's Jesus. And they're like, well, Jesus doesn't spit in people's eyes 3 times in the gospel. So the idea behind that is to understand that our attitude, our disposition, our response. And that's what these guys did. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What a wonderful statement. In fact, if you're in any kind of ministry, if you're sharing the gospel, anything, and somebody says that to you, the selling world would say that's a buying question. That's the question that you want to hear. What should we do? What do I do to fix this? What's the next step? And I think that's our response to the Lord too. You hear me? I think I'm doing a pretty good job hammering this. By the way, I got to answer the trivia question before I mess up, because I don't want to forget that, okay? When the Israelites complained about eating only manna, what did God send them? He sent them quail. That's Numbers chapter 11, verse 31. I don't know if quail was as good as food from heaven, but okay. That's a whole separate issue. My point in this whole process and sharing this, though, is for you and I to catch, okay, Lord, I'm here. Next step. What's my next step? I believe that that response in us should be bronzed, should be emblazoned in our hearts. Not because we're losers, but because we're willing to be servants of the Most High God. Does that make sense? Do it because you love him and you want to please him and draw closer to him. All right, folks, we're going to take a break and come back. So much more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone. And everything we find,
the David Spoon Experience.
You don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute, let alone 1 hour from now. And God, who it's impossible for God to lie, has made this commitment, made this offer, made this opportunity to both you and me and all of us around. The simplicity is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that the wages of that sin, the wages falling short, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, demonstrating his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is nothing more important than that principle right there. The hope that is offered to believers who acknowledge and surrender to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what's being offered. That's what gives you encouragement. That's what enables you to go on. You're going to have a lot of sorrow in this life. Job said it best, a man's days are few and full of trouble. But in the next, there is something so wonderful that even in man's mind, we cannot retain it. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither can the heart comprehend, can't even receive the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's such a great thing that's coming for us, such a great place, such a wondrous place. But you got to acknowledge the invitation. You got to say yes. Because if you don't say yes, you're not going to that wedding. The wedding of the Lamb. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that rejects it. Don't be that person that lives in sorrow, in grief, and in sadness. Don't be that person. Be the one that says yes. So that you can be a part of the great wedding feast, that you can be a part of the great celebration. Oh, life is much more than this 60, 70, 80, 90 years. It's eternity on the line. And
If you've already said yes, rest in the comfort. Rest in that place. Rest in that goodness. That all is well. And even on this side, if it's hard, on the other side, it's glorious.
You're here when I need you the most. When I need you the most. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We are getting ready for our next trivia question. It is a classic trivia question. It is not a trick. It has, in the last 2 years, been asked before. Okay? I'm not going to give any hints initially, and then if depending on the response, then I'll give one. King Herod was eaten by... Now, if you're thinking Dairy Queen or something, that's the wrong answer. King Herod was eaten by... If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. I will give a hint, because I do think some people know it, although I will say that Joy-Ann and Cordelia are pretty much on top of that. The hint is going to be, and so is Kirk, so the hint is going to be, and everybody just responds at the same time now, it's so funny. Acts chapter 12, verse 23. Acts chapter 12, verse 23. And if you have to look it up, I want you to. You have to understand why I say this. I want you to look it up and see it and look at it and embrace it and know it. The rest of that passage is really fascinating. So go ahead and give us an answer if you know. You can call 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483 if you know how King Herod, what he was eaten by. History. We're ready for history. Let's do you into the website and then history. Website first, because we haven't done the website for a little bit. Don't forget the website, because if you do, I'll cry, and I don't want to cry. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, once more on that trivia question. King Herod was eaten by? And your answer is in Acts chapter 12. If you know, you can call 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. Time for history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, couple things to cover today. There's some really good ones, which that's good and that's not good, because whenever I say to you there's some really good ones, usually that means it has something to do with food. That would be correct, so we'll get there in a second. Today is Canada Day. I went to camp. I used to live in Michigan, so I went to camp in Canada, in Algonquin Park. And for those who have ever seen the movie, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Indian Summer. Indian Summer was written by my counselor at that camp. It was a very funny movie. A couple things in it, not that great. But so we used to have to sing the Star Spangled Banner, and then O Canada. We'd have to sing O Canada. Okay, so I'm just really familiar with that. It's also Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day, which I love, because I do like the normal flavors. I do like Baskin-Robbins 31, 32, 33 flavors. But who doesn't like some of the cool flavors that are out now? I mean, right? Do you see anything you like? I mean, I love the cookie dough stuff. It's just like, oh, come on, right? Do you like that?
I don't know. I like more so any ice cream is great.
Any ice cream will work for you.
It will.
No, Noel is like a like the mint chocolatey kind of thing. It's just that one is just not my fave, so we always have to buy separate ice cream. That's what I tell her anyway. Today is also joke day. You already heard my joke. I'm not going to respond to it. And then here's my my absolute favorite one. Today is International Chicken Wing Day. Love. Do you love chicken wings? Are they just not so good?
Yummy.
Yummy. Yummy. Anytime, anywhere. I don't care if you wake up for breakfast. Chicken wings are good. I don't care. This could be part of my problem with the weight. Right there. Let's just do a couple of other things, and then we'll quit. 1963, on this day, United States mail starts using zip codes. I think they were around forever. But nope, 1963 is when they started using zip codes. I thought that was amazing. World's first international phone call happened on this day in 1881 between the United States and Canada. See? Oh, Canada. It's kind of funny. And then last but not least, in 1941, the first TV commercial was offered on WNBT. It was 10 seconds ad for Bulova watches. Now, that is a trivia question. If you know that trivia question, you are like the smartest person in the room ever, in the sense that the Bulova watches was the first TV commercial. That's just like weird. 10 seconds long. Okay. All right, we have somebody that I think is going to try and answer the trivia question. Then we'll get to the rest of the text. Stall, stall, stall. Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. Yes, here we go. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, you're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Oh, you are ready for this one, huh? This is a good one. I didn't get as many responses on this as normal in the texting, which tells me that some people really don't know. So you're going to have to kind of set everybody straight. King Herod was eaten by...
nasty worms.
Yes, that is correct! At that point, he was only good for fish bait because he was eaten by worms. That's right, Acts chapter 12, verse 23. Now, did you look it up or did you just know instantaneously?
Well, I kind of remembered it that an angel had struck him down and he was eaten by worms.
Do you remember why? This is just a good question. Do you remember why he was struck down?
Because he didn't do what God told him to do.
He had been told that he had the voice of a God, and he didn't acknowledge God, but received his own glory, and the Lord struck him.
Okay, now that, I remember.
Yeah, and what's amazing about that is when we do something great and we don't give the glory to God, there's a lesson in there. It's like, yeah,
yes, sir.
Yeah, let's not do that because I don't want to be worm feed, right?
That's no, like, me neither.
Excellent job, Deborah. I'm so glad you called in. Great job.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, good job by Deborah. Awesome, awesome. Okay, let's get into this next portion. I want to make sure I get to it. We've already covered everything in the whole world that I can think of. So verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. Okay, just stop. Okay? For some reason, repentance has got a bad rap. It's the greatest thing ever. The first message from Peter after he gives his sermon is what? Repent. What's Jesus's first message? Repent. What's John the Baptist's first message? Repent. If you go into Acts and look what Paul talked about, repent. There's a reason that repent is said so many times, over and over and over again. And there's a reason why it's thought of in ridiculous terms. It's because, and I'll just say it real quickly, it's because the mass marketing, the media, the internet, the television, the magazines, all this stuff always show a guy or a gal with a sandwich signboard that says, repent, the end of the world is near, walking around with no clothes except the signboard, and everybody looks at that and goes, that is just so dumb. Yes, it is. That's got nothing to do with repent. Okay? Repentance has to do, it does have to do with sorrow, and it doesn't mean you sit there and smack a piece of wood against your face, like in the movie Monty Python, where they're showing all of the monks walking, and they all have big pieces of wood, and they keep smacking themselves in the face. That's not it. It's just, when you do something wrong and you repent, you're sorry about it. There's nothing wrong with being sorry about something you did wrong. Right? Have you ever crossed into the other lane by accident without signaling and you know you did it and the guy's like, beep, beep, and you're like, sorry. Okay, that's repentance. What is wrong with that? It's also a change of direction. When you do something like that, like I just used an illustration of the car, you go back in your lane. You get back on track. Right? In biblical repentance, there's a sorrow element, there's a change of mind, and a change of direction. So you tell the Lord, you know what? I got to do this better. That's the what should we do process, right? That's the beginning of that. As you can see, you understand what should we do, repent, that those blend together. There's a sorrow, I got to get this on track and do this right, Lord. There's a change of mind, I need to get my mind connected to your mind, and then there's a change of direction, I need to go where you're directing me.
not where I'm trying to go. Almost every reference to repentance, more specifically in the Old Testament than the New, but also in the New, has to do with turning. And to turn means to turn from the direction you're heading in. Oftentimes, if it's not a U-turn, which it can be a U-turn, it's a course correction to the left or right. And don't think of repentance as some ridiculous thing. Think of it as God giving you a course correction. Okay? I don't know if you guys have GPS in your car where the lady, the guy, or the whatever talk to you, you know, like when they do the whole, when they, you know, in 2 miles, take a right. In three, right, in 3 miles, take a, whatever it tells you. When you miss it, it does this recalculation for you. And then it goes, at the next exit, turn off. Turn back towards, okay, that's repentance. It's like you went the wrong direction. You got to make the course correction and you get on the right track. Okay? That's an important thing, and it has to be sincere and not fake. And who's the only one who really knows whether it's fake or not? God. And when John the Baptist talked about repentance, the people came to act like they were repenting. And what did John say? Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, which is the biblical way to say there's a lot of people that repent for public display. Your repentance needs to be in your heart before the Lord. If you need to ask for somebody's forgiveness, that's a whole separate issue. We'll talk about that later. But first and foremost, when you sin against God. And you want to make that direction, that correction, and do it to his glory and to his honor. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. There is, I put something new up there, and now I can't even remember what it is. I don't know. You've been getting older. I don't know. All I know is I worked out today, and I was telling T, it was terrible. You know, you work out, and then you come back, and you're supposed to feel good or whatever. That didn't happen.
just so you can know. I think the people in the gym were worried that I was going to keel over. It's like, oh, what's wrong with that guy?
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yay! Texas, yay! Okay, I get to do that because now I've been here for a little while, so now I feel a lot better about that. Do we have somebody, do they have a question? Okay, well, I guess somebody has a question, so we're going to hold off on the trivia, see what the question is, and then just kind of go where the course leads us. Let's do our best. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Donna Gale.
Hi, how are you, Donna Gale? How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm doing great. I'm so sorry I messed up your name that last time. I always remember stuff that I mess up like that. So that's why I said your name like 30 times after that to make sure everybody knew.
That's okay.
Bless you. I appreciate that. How can I help you?
Oh, I was trying to answer the question. Did you ask the question?
Oh, do you want to answer the question? I got a trivia question. You want to answer one for me, or do you got one that you already have answered in your mind?
I thought you asked one.
I did, but I got another one. You want to try it?
I haven't heard it, but I tried.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Give this one a whirl. I'll help you get there. How about that? All right? You ready? I will help you get there. Do you remember the major Old Testament prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Do you remember which of them wrote, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow"? Do you remember which of the major prophets wrote that? What does your gut tell you?
I go with Jeremiah, but I don't know if I'm right or not.
Okay. Who's before Jeremiah in the Bible? Which prophet is before Jeremiah?
I'm leaving behind. I ain't seen
it. That's it. That's okay.
Wait a minute. The name the other three.
Okay. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Who's the first of those, all of those, when you're reading in your Bible? Which one comes across? Go ahead.
I can take a guess. I really don't know because I'm legally blind. I ain't read my Bible since 86.
Okay, I'm going to give you another one because I want you to win, okay?
Okay.
The answer to that one is Isaiah, and that's where that one comes from, but I want you to win.
Okay.
So here, this is one you'll absolutely get, okay?
Okay.
Do you remember which church in the book of Revelation was called lukewarm? Was it Sardis or Laodicea?
Laodicea.
That is correct! You are a winner! There it is. Good job. I knew you'd get that one. That's a good job, Donna. I appreciate that.
And I knew the other two answers, but I didn't call in.
Yeah.
I knew it was Judas.
Yeah, that's right. One of them was Judas. That's right.
I knew it, but I didn't call in.
That's okay. You did a good job right there. You helped everybody right there, so that was an excellent job.
Okay. Thank you so much. I enjoy you.
All right. God bless you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. What fun. We have fun. Yeah, you gotta have fun. If people are sitting there, they're like, "Well, Dave, you didn't throw one out there." I will throw one out there, but it's pretty straightforward. What's the eighth book in the Bible? Whoa, Dave, you're gonna make us look at that? Yes. What's the eighth book in the Bible? If you think you know on that one, you can call 972-445-0770. I'll bet you $1,000, 99.999% of the people are looking. And then also you can text 214-210-8483. What's the eighth book in the Bible? We have a Greek word for you today. So let's go ahead and play our Greek music. Baklava. Okay. we just had a little Greek food over the weekend. No,
did. All right. Here we go. Eric striking first. Good job, Eric. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. The word reconciled is katalosa. 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 It means to change, exchange, or reestablish or restore relationships. Some of you have a need to have a reconciliation, a katalosa, with the Lord. Some of you need to have a reconciliation, a katalosa, with other people. But that's the Greek word, katalosa. It means to reestablish, restore, make things right, remove the strain. There you go. I love this stuff. Okay, we all good? Good, good. All right. Eighth book in the Bible. If you know it, you can call in or you can text in. We got Deb. We got Eric nailing that down. Let's see. I'm trying to see who else. Can't see anybody else. All right. Eighth book of the Bible. You got to look it up and check it out. It's pretty straightforward. You got to look up in the table of contents. Here's the last part I want to talk about this because my time is tight. Verse 38. Just remind me to give that things so I don't spend all night thinking about. Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, we already discovered that, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about baptism for a second because it gets a ridiculous rap. In some denominations, it may be thought of too deeply, and in other denominations, it's thought of too weakly. And it's just like that. That's somehow there just has to be the right balance. If you are a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you should have been baptized. If you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. And you say, well, why? Because God says so. Yeah, I don't need a lot to tell you there. Does that mean that the person on the cross who is next to Jesus didn't get into heaven because he wasn't baptized? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But God wants you to be baptized for a very specific reason. Would you like to know what that reason is? Oh, good. I'm glad you're asking. Because when you are baptized, you are making, ready, a public proclamation that you identify with Jesus Christ. So the idea that you wouldn't do that because there's pride or stubbornness is absurd. Now, is that person who's they accepted Christ, they're on their way to get baptized, and they die in a car accident? I've heard this story. Actually, people say this to me. Is that person saved? Of course that person's saved. That's just almost like an absurd question. But here's a better question. If you're a Christian and you haven't been baptized, why not? God told you to. So here's Peter going, repent, and every one of you be baptized. Everyone. Because baptism is not supposed to be something done in a corner. It's not supposed to be something that's quiet. You know how we do the altar calls, and then typically what they'll say is, everybody bow your head with nobody looking around. If you want to raise your hand and timidly say yes to Jesus, that he's died for your sins. He died on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again, and he ascended, and he's coming back, and he loves you, and he's committed to you. If you want to say yes to that, but in hush-hush tones, I just think that's not the way to go about it. Hey, this is a fantastic opportunity for you to get saved and spend time in heaven. Stand up and say yes. Yes. Okay, now, one of the things he wants you to do is get baptized so you can make a public proclamation of your faith. Okay. It doesn't seem like it's that complex. I'm more curious, and we don't have a lot of information on this, is how the 120 ended up baptizing about 3,000. Nobody's really explained that part to me, and I'm not sure where that happened or how that happened. I think the logistics are like the most amazing thing, because they go from a group of 120 to now there's 3,120. How'd they run that? What a mess, right? I mean, that had to be messy no matter what anybody says. But Peter tells them what to do. You know what I'm saying? You just think about what he says. Men and brethren, what should we do? Peter says, repent, every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, there's a whole group of people that are really, really committed to, it must be in the name of Jesus. That's a strong miss in understanding that in the name of Jesus is connected to in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit,
but not connected to in John's baptism, which is what Paul was talking about in Acts 19. What baptism were you baptized into? Well, into John's. Well, they don't even know the Holy Spirit. But when they're baptized into Jesus Christ, they find out about the Holy Spirit, which is why the connection between baptism in the name of Jesus and the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is it's the same. You can't separate Christ. Jesus isn't partly over here and partly over here. This isn't food separation day. This is God. And the Father is in the Son, and the Father is in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit's in the Father, and the Spirit's in the Son, and the Son's in the Spirit, and the Son's in the Father. Three in one, remember? So what if they say it wrong? Oh, God's up there going, oh, you didn't say that right. I've had people confess Christ and mumble out the words because they couldn't remember everything that was being said. That doesn't mean they're not saved. That means they mumbled out the words. Give it a rest. And God's up there going, they didn't say that perfect. That doesn't count. That's legalism. Okay, stop doing that. Here's what it says. Get baptized. Why? Because it's your way to say, hello, world. I identify with Jesus Christ. I got baptized, which is me going under, dying with Christ, and raising back up like the resurrection. I make that connection, and I want everybody to know. And baptism should be a celebration. It shouldn't just be a counting. I will say this. It's a little unfortunate that church counting growth people, it only depends on how many people you baptize. Well, that's stupid, right? What baptism is an open proclamation of an inward working. And it's the most awesome one because it's the person saying, I believe. If you're going to persecute Christians, I'll be one of them. Get it? Okay, the trivia question. Trivia question. I got to answer the trivia question, right? The eighth book of the Bible is Ruth. Not baby Ruth. Ruth. Okay, Ruth isn't Ruth. Okay, all right. It's Thursday, right? What does it feel like Friday? I can't figure it out. All right, just take these things to heart. Use what you can. Don't freak out. Let whatever the Lord has used to encourage you, strengthen you, be a part of you. That's all we're looking for. You don't have to agree with everything I say, but you still have to love me. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the guilt, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish my...
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.